going to read again from Psalm 10, from verse 12. 10th Psalm, verse 12, to the end of the psalm. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. When we started looking at this psalm, we started with a psalmist who was puzzled. Puzzled why it was that the wicked seemed to prosper, seemed to get away with what they were doing. And I mentioned two types of atheism, the theoretical atheist, which is prevalent today, but also the practical atheist who lives, even if he might believe in God, he lives as if there were no God. That's how he lives his life. Again, something that is prevalent today. There was a description of the wicked, how they were characterized, in a way how you could recognize them. But now the psalmist comes to this end of God's triumph over evil. The psalmist could look forward to that. And first of all, he's saying that the Lord arises. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. That means raise your hands, bear up your hands. And it reminded me of Moses when the Israelites were in battle, and he lifted his arms, and while his arms were lifted up, they were winning. But when his arms started to sag, they started to lose. So his hands, his arms, had to be held up by others so that they would obtain the victory. The Lord's arms, his hands, do not tire. They are lifted up and they will be victorious. Now, of course, we talk about hand in relation to God, but we know from the teaching of the Lord Jesus that God is spirit. So any talk of his hand or his ear that we find in this passage, we know is figurative. Figurative, that is, until the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who laid aside his majesty and took upon himself flesh like you and I. And there we can see the hand of God in Jesus. When we look at him, we see God. What happened to those hands? They were taken and they were crucified to the cross. But this is a psalm towards the end, a psalm of hope. He speaks again about something regarding the wicked, that they renounce God. And why do the wicked renounce God? He said in his heart, you will not require an account. That word renounce, it means to scorn or to blaspheme. That characterized the life of God. And one of the strange things regarding the conversion of C.S. Lewis quite a while ago now was that when he was a young man after the First World War, he professed to be an atheist, and yet He seemed to be so angry at the God he didn't believe in. And I think that may be the case with many people who profess atheism today. You find that on the one hand, they say that they don't believe, but on the other, they seem angry at a God that they don't believe in. This man, these men, renounce, they scorn God and blaspheme. They think that they will not be held to account. But the psalmist says, but you have seen. God has seen what takes place. God has seen the life and the way of the wicked. He sees everything. He sees us. Every little bit of our life, every thought that we have, that we keep from others, he knows about. And that's a comfort, as well as something that disturbs. It's a comfort to know that we cannot hide from him, because that would make us turn to him and trust him and in what he has done for us upon that cross where the Lord Jesus Christ died. So he sees, he observes trouble and grief, and he will repay it. The helpless commits himself to you. And that's a word that means the helpless, they give up how they are for him. They relinquish who they are for God. They give up and let God take over. They give God the control of their lives. They commit, we commit ourselves to him. We trust in him and in no one else for our salvation, for our spiritual growth, our life, our victory against sin. He is the helper of the fatherless. When you read through Psalms like this, sometimes the psalmist asks, how long? How long will this wickedness go on? And it seems to drag. It seems to take an age for the Lord to see and to do something about it. But the psalmist here says that the Lord is King forever and ever. He has power and authority. That's one of the meanings of the raised hands of God. It means power and authority. He has that. He is King. He reigns. And yet, still, we see the wicked being wicked. We see them do things that they seem to get away with. What's going on? Why does it take so long? We know that, and the writer here says that he has defeated the nations. The nations have perished out of his land. That is the land that the Lord gave the Israelites. They perished. The Israelites took up occupation. But we know from reading through Joshua, the book of Joshua, that it was incomplete, not because of God's failure, but because of man's failure. Because of the failure of the Israelites to thoroughly cleanse the land. So wickedness was still there. We wait for the final victory. But we know and are reassured that God hears. He hears us. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. He knows what's on our hearts. He hears. He understands. He understands our prayers, our desire for his righteousness to reign and be complete. You have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. That word prepare means to cause to stand firm, set in place. That is where the believer is to be, to stand firm in God, to stand firm in Christ, to be set in place, our feet placed upon the rock who is our Lord. And justice will come. To do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Justice will come. Vindication for those who have been harmed by the actions of the wicked. And retribution will take place as well as the Lord punishes those who are without repentance, who die in their sins, in their wickedness. We never say this in a light way. This is something that is a dreadful thing, that men and women will perish in their sins. And the psalmist talks about the man of the earth, and that word man has a hint of mortality and frailty. Despite the boasts of the wicked, they are mortal. They are frail, just like those they're persecuting. And the time will come when their lives will be forfeit, and they will have to face a righteous and a just God in judgment. I want to read from Revelation chapter 6. I've read this before in connection with the Psalms. Revelation chapter 6 from verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. These souls who had perished by the hands of the wicked were told to wait. This psalm speaks of the victory, to do justice to the for the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. It will cease. Martyrdom is still a thing today, in our own day, where people have been killed for the faith that they have in Jesus. When you read through the book of Revelation, you see all the awful things that take place, but you see at the end that there is an end, and that there is the victory of God. But we have to wait. We're urged to be patient. The victory will come. We have that victory now, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus, victory over sin and death and hell, the victory that Jesus won at the cross. The enemy is defeated. The time will come when he is cast into the lake of fire, and we will reign with him. We will be with him. What a glorious day that will be, to be with our Lord for all time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these psalms which express often our thoughts. They're so human, but they have faith as well, and look forward to that time of victory, the victory of our God who reigns. His purposes are certain and sure and will be fulfilled. And we patiently wait for him. We know that he will return again and the believer will be with him forever. We look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we have to be patient. In the meantime, you have entrusted us with your word and with the gospel. We pray that you'd help us today as we seek to spread your word, as we seek to encourage people to come, hear the gospel, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So we give thanks for the victory that has been won. We give thanks that we are in him and have trusted him. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus.